Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah's daf Yudalid. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Lenin Lazer Chanishmas Lo Lupin Zaltzman. We are on the towards the bottom of Yigimel Midbeis. Okay, I take it back. We're in the middle of Yigimel Midbeis. Fine. The discussion has been and will continue to be Trumas and Maisos. Trumas and Maisos comes up in today's daf in Rosh Hashanah, and yesterday's daf and tomorrow's daf. Three dapim in a row regarding the regarding Trumas and Maisos, because we're counting for the year. The Mishnah told us that when you get to the beginning of Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei, so it's Rosh Hashanah. Vis-a-vis the halachas of, you should know this by heart already. I don't. Vis-a-vis the halachas of Shanim, it's a lot of admission in the beginning of the daf. Shanim, Shemitah, Yovel, Netiah, Yerakos. So vis-a-vis these halachas, So the first day of Tishrei marks the beginning of the year. So as we point out, for Trumas and Maisos, it's important to know, I mean, it's critical to know, that when you get to year one of the Shemitah cycle, so the first thing you're taking off is Truma Gedola, the next thing which you give to the Kohen, the next thing you take off, which is about 2%, the next thing you take off is Maaser Rishon, that's 10%, and that goes to the Levium. The next thing you take off is another 10%, and that's Maaser Sheni. That doesn't go to anybody, that stays by you, but it has Kedusha. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. If you choose not to, you can redeem it onto money, and you can take the money and bring the money to Yerushalayim and spend it on food. And all this is marked by the first day of Tishrei. Then you get to year two, it's the same. Then you get to year three. No, I'm sorry, before I get to year three. You get to year two, it's the same. But as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, and we're going to continue to discuss today, okay, it's the same, but it's year two. That means that all the grains that grew this year need its trumas and maisos to be separated with this year's fruit. I cannot mix up the years in terms of separation of trumas and maisos. So in other words, last year's fruit, grains, olives, grapes, all that has to be separated with last year's grains. This year's grains and fruit have to be separated with this year's grains and fruit. So in other words, when taking off Trumas and Maisos, much like our taxes that we do nowadays, so everything has to be done per annum. It has to be done from within each year. So that's when you go from year two to year three, from year one to year two. When you then go from year two to year three, so now there's going to be a change of designation. Truma Gedola remains the same. Maaser Rishon remains the same. But in year three now, instead of Maaser Sheni, it's now Maaser Ani. That next 10% that you take off after the Maaser Rishon is going to be given to the Anim. It's given to the poor people, where it becomes theirs. They get to eat it. This is Matnos Aniyim. It's gifts to the poor. Okay, and then in years 4, 5, and 6, so you have a repeat of that cycle. Year 4 and 5, Truma Gedola, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, and in year 6, Maaser Ani. And then the 7th year, obviously, that's a Shemitah year, and the Shemitah year, there are no Trumas and Maasos during the Shemitah year. Shemitah is like the great equalizer. Everybody owns, or doesn't own, I should say. Everybody doesn't own land, so there's no Trumas and Maasos to speak about during the Shemitah year. When do we assign a fruit to a year? So as we learned yesterday, it depends. When it comes to, and I'm going to present it like Rashi, right? The Rambam may have a slightly different on this point, maybe not. Anyway, I'm going to just simply present it like Rashi. The way Rashi sees it, en Tosfos, when it comes to grapes, olives, and grains, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of hafrash shumas and maestros, a biblical commandment to do so. So according to Rashi and Tosfos, when you have grapes, olives, and grains, so the mark, the development where we're going to assign it to a year is shlish, is when it gets a third developed. So in other words, there's an assumption that it gets to a certain point, it'll grow to a certain point, so when it gets to a third of that point, that is considered the majority of its formative growth, and therefore that's the year it becomes assigned to. So if the grape gets to a third of its development by Rosh Hashanah let's say before Rosh Hashanah, it's assigned to the previous year. If it only reaches its third development after Rosh Hashanah, it's assigned to this year. That is that is by grapes, grains, and olives. When it comes to all other fruit, chanata, the blossoming of that fruit will determine which year it belongs to. When it is vegetables, likita, the time that I pluck it off the ground. Now, according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, all other fruit, meaning not grapes, grains, and olives, but all other fruits, And vegetables are not a biblical commandment to take off chumas and maasros. It is the mitzvah derabbanan, it's a rabbinic commandment to do so, but it is not biblical. According to the Rambam, as we pointed out yesterday, all fruits are obligated in the Torah to take off chumas and maasros. As I mentioned yesterday, the Gemaras are supportive of both positions. There's a built-in ambiguity into the Gemara in terms of whether Rashi and Tosfos are correct or whether the Rambam is correct. I'll show you a couple places today where we're going to get to see some of that ambiguity again. Okay, and then what did we learn yesterday? We learned yesterday that there's one other category of growth from the ground. So we have right now three categories: grapes, grains, and olives. Shlish. That's a third development. We have all other fruits. Chanata. The time that it blossoms on the tree. And then we have vegetables, lakita, the time that you pluck it out of the ground. And now we're going to have one other category. What did we talk about yesterday? What was the last thing we spoke about yesterday? Kitnios, legumes. When it comes to kitnios, so there, it's hashrasha when it actually takes root in the ground. The Gemara notes, why did the Chachamim do that? Why did they give that its own separate category? So the Gemara says, because just simply the way it's harvested. The harvesting of the legumes don't happen all at one time. Right, this is what we pointed out yesterday. Rashi made this point yesterday. They're not all harvested at the same time. They're harvested piecemeal, a little here, a little there. And therefore, when you bring it into your storehouse, it's going to be very confusing if we're following the Lakita, because some belong to last year, some belong to this year. They're all mixed together in the same silo, in the same storehouse. That's very confusing. So you know what the Chachamim said? Hush, Rasha. When it takes root, it'll make it easier for the farmer to take off Shumas HaMaisos now that there's a uniform time and a uniform year that they're all assigned to. Okay, Ad Kan, that's a review of what basically we saw yesterday.
Doesn't mean the plant, it means the fruit, right?
It means the actual fruit itself.
Right.
We're talking about the actual size of the fruit itself. Correct. Correct. Okay, we're about halfway down on your Gimel Amud Beis, and we pick it up from where we left off yesterday. Amalei Abaye. So it's about 10 lines on the top of the Amud. So Amalei Abaye Bitzbar Gonal Estochav Nimsa Tar Min Achadash Shabal Achadash Shabal Min Yashin Shabal Ala Yashin Shabal. So Abaye says, I don't think all this is really necessary. Meaning, what we just pointed out is that when it comes to the kidneys, we're going to follow this period of Hashrasha, when it takes root. That's going to be the year in which we assign it to. Abaye says, can we suggest the following? Let's not go with Hashrasha. Meaning, let's go to Lakita, to the time that I pluck it off the ground. Like all other vegetation, when it comes to all other vegetables, it's the Lakita. Let's say the same thing for legumes, for our kidneys. And what was your issue? Your issue is, well, it's not all plucked at the same time. Some are belonging to last year, and some are belonging to this year, and then it's a mess. So Abaye's argument is, and so what? Meaning, it's not a big deal. So it'll be a mess. Meaning, in your storehouse, what are you going to have? You're going to have some legumes belonging to last year, some legumes belonging to this year. Abaye says, can we be honest with each other? It's not a big deal. Because when I take off chumas and maasros, what's going to end up happening is I'm going to take 10%. Let's assume, now it's an assumption, and the Gemara is going to challenge it, but let's assume that the 10% that I take off will be a representation of whatever is in the storehouse. Meaning in the 10% I'll have, let's deal with really easy numbers. Let's say 50-50. 50% of the storehouse was legumes of last year, and 50% are legumes of this year. What's the big deal? Take 10%, and I'll assume that of the 10% that I took off, 50% of it was of the legumes of last year, and 50% are that which belongs to this year. I'll give you just a simple example of what we're talking about. In other words, this is basic statistics. Whenever you take a sample representation, you take a sample of the population. So it's an assumption, and it's not always true, that the sample that you're taking is going to be representative of the population. Right? You do a study on drugs. So you want to know, is this drug going to help the population? So what you're doing is you're taking a sample. You're taking a random sampling of the population, and you're hoping that, well, this sample is going to be representative of the people. Now, it's not always true, but that's an assumption that we make. Over here, what Bai is basically saying is, let's say the same thing as well. When I take off my truma, when I take off my miser, it's going to reflect a representation an accurate representation of the population. So if the population is 50-50, 50 last year, 50 this year, same thing with the sample as well. Sample is going to be 50 last year, 50 this year. This is what Abaye's argument is. Now, this is all based on an assumption, as I pointed out, and we're going to give this assumption a name. It's now, from this point forward, going to be called Bila. Bila Beis Yud Lamed Hey, which means basically that whenever I mix something together, it's going to be an even blending. Meaning I mix something together and it will be blended in a uniform way. So that whenever I take anything from the mix, it'll be a representative sample of the mix itself. And the question of the day, or at least the first big question of our day, is going to be, do we subscribe to this idea of Bila? Do we assume that there's going to be an even blending, an even mixture, a distribution of the mixture, that so when I take up, when I take something out, it'll actually be representative? So the Gemara is, this is Abaye's suggestion, Mi Lo Tanya. And Abaye says, and let me add some teeth now to my suggestion. Let's quote a Braisa. The Braisa over here reads, it's a Tosefta of Shviyas. Rav Yosef ben Kippur Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. The Gemara quotes, in the name of Shimon Shazuri, Zatana, Pula Mitzvah Shazar Lazera, if I plant Egyptian bean, and I do so for Zera, Miksaso Hishrish Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, or Miksaso Hishrish L'Acher Rosh Hashanah, some of it took root before Rosh Hashanah, some of it took root after Rosh Hashanah, Ein Torah Me'aisim Yizel Zelefish, Ein Torah Me'aisim, Lamin Acharash Yel Yashem, Lamin Yashel Acharash. So I cannot take Shurmas and Maestros from last year onto this year, from this year onto that onto last year, right? Again, you got to keep your year separate. Kate said, who owes that? So Rav Shimon Shazuri says, so what do you do? It's easy, I'll tell you what you do. So tsober garno l'socho. So what you do is you make a big pile. Make a mishmash. Mix it together. V'nimsa torna maitza min echad shabal echad shabal min yashan shabal yashan shabal. And once you mix it together, and yes, I'm mixing now beans of last year and this year together, but great, what's the big deal? I'm taking 10% out from maitza rishon. I'm just using maitza rishon as an example. I'm taking 10% out of maitza rishon, and now I'll assume that in the 10% that I took out, I will have an accurate reflection of whatever, however percentage of last year is in that 10%. And whatever percentage of this year is also in that 10%. That 10% will be reflective of last year and this year. And it's good. And Rabbi Shimon Shazuri is obviously subscribing to this concept of Bila. So Amalei Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, I'm sorry, that Adkan, period. That's the end of the Braisa. So if we subscribe to this position of Shimon Shazuri, so Abaye says, so really, it's not a big deal if the beans are assigned to last year and this year. Put them in the storehouse, mix it together. Now, by the way, I'm not even sure if that's, I describe it as mixing it together. That may not even be necessary, meaning just assume that there will be a distribution. A blended distribution. So the Gemara says, "Amale Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, come out Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, savi yesh bila, v'rabbanan savi ein bila." So the Gemara says, "Look, you're advancing an argument, and you're basing it on Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Yeah, but he subscribes to this concept of bila. The Chachamim do not subscribe to this concept of bila. So you can't ask a question and offer a position when it's predicated on Rabbi Shimon Shazuri who subscribes to bila. We don't." So the Gemara says it's not going to help you and your cause in this particular scenario. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachman Amar Shmuel. Okay, everyone ready? Three statements coming up. Two of them are going to be said. Sorry, all three statements are going to be said by Shmuel. Statement number one: Halachik Rav Yosi Ben Kippur Shamer Mishim Shazuri. Okay, number one, the halachas like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Okay, what does that mean? I could take beans, put it in a room, even though they're last year or this year. Mix them around together and take off Meister. Oh, what are you doing? You're taking off from last year to this year? No, you're not. Okay. And presumably, the reason why he holds like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Shmuel, is because he holds a Bila. That's what it sounds like. Get ready for now for statement number two. Maskif la Rabbi Zera, mi amar Shmuel hachi. Rabbi Zera says, wow, am I confused? Because I know that Shmuel says, v'hamar Shmuel l'cholein Bila. Chutz mi'ayinu v'shemen. There's no Bila, meaning Shmuel doesn't subscribe to Bila, with only two exceptions, and that would be wine and oil. Wine and oil are liquids, so when I take oil and I mix oils together, right? You have oil left over from the deep frying, and you pour it back in. And so you assume that there's a blend. Okay, you can assume it by oil. Oil's a liquid. So therefore, you can assume that there was an even distribution.
There's no beetle applying here because you're assuming it's 50-50.
Well, let's assume, first of all, it could be 50-50, so then there'd be no beetle. And min bimino, so there's no beetle as well, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Meaning we don't need beetle. Meaning the idea of bila is that it's not necessary because also an even distribution. Wine and shemen and oil as well. Okay, so in other words, aside from those which are liquids, but Shmuel says outside of liquids. Now, by the way, I don't know, and it's just another admission, if he means wine and oil like all other liquids, or he means specifically wine and oil. I don't know, but the point is, certainly by beans, a room full of beans, we're not going to assume bila. Okay, so that was the second statement by Shmuel. So now, scratching your head, we should all be scratching our head. It's now confusing. On one hand, we have one statement of Shmuel which says halachas like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, who seems to be subscribing to the concept of bila. Statement number two is no, ain't bila. We don't subscribe to bila, and which seems to negate statement number one. And let's just add one more statement of Shmuel to the list. Ishtamitate hadam Shmuel. So the Gemara says, you know why Rabbi Zera was confused? Because he forgot about another statement of Shmuel, which is Hakol Holech Achar Gemar Pri. Everything follows the conclusion of the development of the fruit. And with that last statement of Shmuel, everything is resolved.
Okay.
Okay, good. I understand that. You're right. And just give me a moment, I'm going to explain. So now, when you take all three statements and now you put it together, so now the mystery is solved. Meaning if I only had statement number one and statement number two, I'd be lost. Statement number one says that according to Shmuel, we hold like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, which means that we subscribe to Bila. Statement number two is Shmuel doesn't hold the Bila. Excuse me. Shmuel doesn't hold the Bila. Good. That's statement number two. None of that makes sense. Those are contradictory statements. And then the third statement, so the third statement is really the solution. And that is when it comes to all fruit, you follow the Gemar Pri. Rashi explains. Rashi says that, what do we gain from this third statement of Shmuel? What we gain from this third statement of Shmuel is that, truth be told, is that he disagrees when it comes to legumes. Legumes, we've said, when is the point of demarcation? Where do we draw the line in the sand between last year and this year? Hashrasha. When it takes root. On that, Shmuel says, no, I disagree. It's not when it takes root, but rather the Gemar Pri, right. when the fruit comes to its conclusion. And so therefore, I have beans in the room, some belonging to last year, some belonging to this year. Truth be told, that according to Shmuel, that's not accurate. If I have beans and they're in a room, and even though some took root last year and some took root this year, truth be told, is that we follow the Gemar Pri, and therefore they all belong to this year. Now, and so therefore, statement number two, we get. Statement number two, we don't hold. Shmuel doesn't hold the Bila? Correct, he doesn't hold the Bila. And now go back to statement number one, he holds like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri? Yes and no. Meaning, practically speaking, he's going to agree with Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. You can take all the beans and you can put them in a room together and take off Meiser, but not for the same reason. Shimon Shazuri says that you could do that because of Yesh Bila. Shmuel says you could do that, but not because of Yesh Bila, but simply because all those beans belong to one year, not to two different years. Good. Now we have an accurate representation of Shmuel. Rashi points out, it's a little bit strange now, but what we're essentially saying is that when it comes to Shmuel, who's an Amora, he says that when it comes to legumes, when it comes to kidneys, the point of demarcation is not Hashrasha, but it's Gemar Pri. Where did Shmuel get that from? You remember yesterday's daf? Yesterday's daf, we quoted a Mishnah in Shvius. The Mishnah in Shvius says that when it comes to legumes, so the legumes follow Hashrasha. That's a Mishnah. Shmuel's an Amora. What's happening over here? So Rashi says, and Rashi here makes the admission, this is not my admission, this is Rashi's admission, okay, I'm a little stuck right now. Meaning, I don't know Rashi, if you want to see the end of Rashi Ishtamitate, Rashi says, Ve'ani lo yadati manhu autana. So Rashi, it says, here I'm admitting, I don't know the Tana. Meaning, Shmuel cannot be just simply inventing this position. Right? Sometimes we say by Rav Tanu Palig, that Rav, he's right at the threshold between the Tanaim and the Amoraim, so he can argue on a Tana. But we don't say that by Shmuel. The Gemara never, to my knowledge, the Gemara never says that by Shmuel. So Rashi here is working with the assumption that the only way Shmuel could be arguing on the Tana is if he has the Tana himself. And Rashi says, and now I'm making an admission, Rashi, fluent in every Mishnah, every Tosefta, every Braisa, Rashi says, I don't know where it came from, but it must have come from somewhere. Okay, anyway, good. That's so we have Shmuel's position. Let's quickly summarize. Shmuel doesn't hold a Bila, except for wine and oil, where he does. So therefore, we never assume an even distribution. Shmuel, on the other hand, will allow you to take the beans and put them in a room and take off Trumas and Maestros, even though it took root at different points in the year. But the third statement of Shmuel, the reason why that's okay, is because when it comes to legumes, he doesn't follow Hashrasha, but he follows the Gemar Pri, the conclusion of when it finally develops. Top of Yadal Amad Aleph. All three statements of Shmuel are necessary. We could not have existed without one of those statements. And the Gemara just simply does the accounting for us. So I need the second statement, because if I only had the first statement that he holds like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, I might have erroneously thought that he subscribes to the concept of Bila. And meanwhile, the second statement says he doesn't. Now, if he just said the second statement of Ein Bila, so good. So I know that he does not subscribe to this idea of an even blending of mixtures, an even distribution of the mixtures, good. But at the same time, I might have thought that when it comes to beans, so he follows Hashrasha. So that's why I need the third statement. Now, if all I had was statement number one, statement number two, he holds like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, he holds a Bila. And then he holds that there is no Bila. So how am I? What's going on over here? So I need the third statement to tell me no. He's holding like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, but not for the reason of Shimon Shazuri. The Shimon Shazuri holds Yesh Bila, he doesn't hold to that. Now, if I only had the last statement of Shmuel, that everything follows the Gemar Pri, I might have thought that should also include grains and olives. No, only in context. Meaning, when it comes to legumes, when it comes to kidneys, then he holds like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri in that, then it follows the Gemar Pri. But when it comes to grapes and olives and wine, so what year do I assign it to? Shlish. It goes by a third. Ulishmein and Hani Tarte. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what we could have done? We could have done statements one and three. Statement one, I hold the Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Statement three, but for a totally different reason, because when it comes to lentils, we follow the Gemara Pri. What do we gain from statement number two? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what we gain from statement number two. L'cholim bila lamali, ha-kamash malan, delayan v'shemin yesh bila. Statement number two told us an exception, meaning that Shmuel doesn't hold the bila, and we could have gotten that out of statements one and three, but in statement number two, there are two exceptions, wine and oil. By wine and oil, Shmuel says that there is Bila. Ad Kan, period. That is the end of the first part of today's daf. Okay? Quick summaries. So the big discussion in the first part of today's daf is, first of all, this concept of Bila. When you have mixtures of items, do we assume an even blending, an even distribution, so that when I take out a sample, that sample will properly be representative of the original? So that's a major debate. That's a debate between Rabbi Shimon Shazuri and other Tanaim. Shmuel's psak is Ein Bila, that we don't subscribe to this concept of Bila, and the only exception being wine and oil. When wine and oil, we do assume a blending, a distribution. And then Shmuel's other big statement is that when it comes to legumes, even though the Mishnah in Shviyas tells us that when it comes to legumes, it follows Hashrasha, Shmuel says that's not the halacha, but the halacha rather is Gemar Pri, that it follows the full development of the lentil. and of the bean. Okay.
But over here it seems like the halacha follows the shazuri usually, like it follows in. But it's not using his logic.
Right, correct. In other words, correct. The halacha, that's exactly the point. The practically speaking, you could do what Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, but not because of Bila, but because it's a different point in its development in terms of assignment of year.
But the thing is that rationale in terms of growth is used for other things, but it doesn't apply to mixing. They don't use the same approach for other things.
Agreed. Okay, Tanya, the Gemara now here quotes a Braisa. We're on Yudal Amad Aleph. We're about a third of the way down. Rabbi Yosef Gluy Omer Basbacha Migancha Mikvecha. The Torah says that when you gather your Goren and your Yekev, your olives and your grapes. Okay, we've quoted this pasuk already a number of times. This pasuk is found in Parshas Re'eh. Now, we quoted this pasuk regarding Sukkos, right? What do we say? Sukkos time comes around. You're going to be gathering your wine and your grapes, and there's going to be leftover. What do you do with the leftover vines? Throw it on top of your sukkah, right? This was one of the sources of what is acceptable schach. And in the meantime, however, the Gemara is going to quote this pasuk: Ma'agarim v'yakev miyuchadim shegedel ma'amei shana she'avra, ometa'asim l'shana she'avra, avkol shegedel ma'amei shana she'avra, ometa'asim l'shana she'avra. So, from here we learn out that just like when it comes to grapes and olives, they grow with last year's water. Okay, again, I'm not that agriculturally aware. So I'm just simply accepting the Gemara in face that I'm not a good person to talk to in terms of the actual farming. But the Gemara says that when it comes to wine and grapes, they grow with last year's rain. And based on last year's rain, that's how they grow. So the Gemara says anything that operates on the same basic principle where it grows on last year's rain, so mitzvah and lashana shavra, the trumas and maizes follow last year. Meaning, grapes and olives, as we said already a number of times, at what point are they assigned to a year? When they're already a third developed. When they're a third developed, so at that point in time now, we connect it to that year, even though it's still going to get more than 50% larger, right? 66% larger than what it currently is right now. But this is the year that we attach it to, and anything which operates in the same way is also going to follow the same trend. Yasu yirakos shegedel ma'amei shana haba umetasan l'shana haba. Vegetables are excluded. Vegetables which grow on this year's water, therefore, is going to follow a whole different stage, and that is Lakita, when I actually take it out of the ground. Okay, so a point which we knew already from yesterday's daf, but the Gemara over here quotes Psukim. Rashi points out, you understand what's going on right now. We're quoting a pasuk to teach us when is the year for Trumas HaMaisros of vegetables. We all agree, Rashi, Tosos, the Rambam, we all agree that the Trumas HaMaisros of vegetables is a Din D'Rabbanan. So we're doing a drusha on a pasuk in Chumash to teach me about Trumas HaMaisros on vegetables. So Rashi is sensitive, and Rashi says this is an asmachta, meaning that this is not a bona fide drusha. This is just it's an asmachta. In other words, it's the Chachamim were the ones who innovated this halacha, and they just simply connected to Pesukim. Time and again in the Gemara, we see this kind of this kind of activity of the Chachamim, they're connecting it to a pasuk, but not the actual halach itself is midivreihem. It's the Rabbanan, it's not the Araisa. Rabbi Kiva has a slightly different approach in terms of how this drasha works. Rabbi Kiva Amar Basbecha Migancha Miyekvecha. Again, the same starting point, the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Magarim V'yakev Miyuchanim Shegdel Ma'arov Mayim Umitasim L'Shana Shavra. Avkol Shegdel Ma'arov Mayim Mitasim L'Shana Shavra. Anything that grows on Rov Mayim. Rashi says, what does that word mean, Rov Mayim? It means rainwater. In other words, things that grow with rainwater. Olives, grapes. The rain that comes down is going to give it its growth. Yatsu Yiraku Shegdel Ma'kol Mayim. Vegetables, on the other hand, can be grown with any water, even drawn water, meaning that if I don't take the rainwater, but I just I irrigate the field myself by drawing water from a water source, so you can grow basically anything you want. So vegetables can grow on any water. And therefore it's going to be connected to the upcoming year, not to the previous year. Okay, so Rabbi Kiva says it slightly differently than Rav Yosef Aglili. Rav Yosef Aglili talks about how grapes and olives growing with last year's rain, not this year's. So therefore, they follow the shlish. Vegetables grow with this year's water, so therefore they follow the kita. Rabbi Akiva says it just slightly differently, in that when it comes to olives and grapes, it grows with rainwater, as opposed to vegetables that grow with irrigated water. My Beinayu, the point is essentially the same. There's only a thin difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Lili. The Gemara here carves out that thin difference. I'm Rabbi Abou, but Selim Asrisim Opulam Mitzriyim Beinayu. So the Gemara says these different types of onions and these Egyptian beans, that would be the practical difference. What is now, meaning that Rabbi Kiva would hold one way and Rabbi Yosef Lili would hold another way. Which way is each Tana going to go? So that explains the large Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. If you take a look at the Rashi, the large Rashi on the bottom of the Amud, so Rashi over here says, I heard two pshatim going in two different directions. For our purposes, we're just going to go through the first half of Rashi, and then on your own, your homework tonight, go through the second Rashi, where he gives the opposite explanation. Ika Benayu, Rashi writes, Kigon, Shemana mehem mayim. I'm sorry. Let me do it this way. Let me first read the Mishnah in Shviyas, and then I'll come back to the Rashi. Okay. So we'll go back to the Gemara, and then I'll go back to the Rashi. Did not we learn from the Mishnah? Betzal Masrisa Mopula Mitzri. The Mishnah in Shviyas tells us that when it comes to these special kinds of onions and the Egyptian bean, Shemana Mehemaim Shloshim Yom Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Withhold water 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, mit asrim l'sha'avar, so therefore it is connected to last year, meaning year 6, umutam b'shvias, and consequently it does not have kedusha shvias. V'im lav, however, if I watered it within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah, so asurim b'shvias, so it is prohibited during the Shemitah year, Omit Asrim Lishana Haba, and it's connected to the upcoming year. Okay? So that is the Mishnah in Shviyas. Now, this Mishnah is a Rabbi Akiva Mishnah, or is it a Rabbi Yosef Lili Mishnah? That's the ambiguity, that's not clear. Again, we'll take a look at Rashi. We're going to go over one approach in Rashi and save the second approach for your own. Rashi writes, "Igemenayu kigon shemana mehemayim v'lo hishku shloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'lektemach Rosh Hashanah." What I did is I withheld water 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, but I didn't actually pluck them out of the ground until after Rosh Hashanah. V'chi ames nisan didnam emesech shvius, and Rashi points out that's basically the Mishnah Shvius, b'tzal masrisim etc. Rav Yosi aglili islay. That Mishnah is the Rav Yosef Lili Mishnah. Hamasisin dekevin demana mayim shloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because I withheld water 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. Nimtzu gedalim ameishana shavra. So, which water is responsible for its growth? Last year's water is responsible for its growth. So, therefore, it behaves like what? Behaves like a tree. Behaves like Goren and Yekev, like olives and grapes. And therefore, just like olives and grapes are associated with last year, because it grew with last year's water, so too, if I'm withholding water for 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, this too is going to be connected to last year. So the Mishnah Shviyas is the Rav Yosef Galuli Mishnah. And Rabbi Akiva would disagree. Ula Rabbi Akiva, Hare Gedel HaKol Mayim Mitasrim Lahaba. And according to Rabbi Akiva, I don't care which year's rain or water is responsible for its growth. It's a vegetable, in this case it's a legume, but let's say it simply, it's a vegetable, and therefore it can grow with any water, with rainwater, with irrigated water, can grow with any water. Therefore, it follows the same. It behaves like a vegetable, not like a tree. Even though in this particular case, practically, it grew with last year's water, but who cares? In other words, that's not the benchmark of in terms of determination whether it's last year or whether it's this year. Okay, that's Rashi's first pshat. And then you go through the rest of Rashi later tonight, and you'll see Rashi does an about face, where Rashi says you could explain it the other way, that the Mishnah Shvius is really Rabbi Akiva, and see Rashi for an explanation of that. Okay, Adkan. All right, that admittedly complex. Meaning, but the basic issue is just an easy summary is that vegetables do not follow the same demarcation as fruit. Vegetables are different. First of all, the big difference is it's derabbanan, it's not daraisa. I mean, that's point number one. And then what makes the vegetable different? So in the Braisa, we have Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rabbi Kiva says it's predicated on the fact that vegetables grow on the current water, not on last year's water. And fruit, olives and grapes grow on last year's water. According to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, no, it's that vegetables can grow on any water, as opposed to trees. Trees grow primarily with rainwater. Okay. We finally are now up to the last part of the Mishnah. Last part of the Mishnah. We've now been on this Mishnah for 2 weeks. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Meaning it's the Mishnah over here is talking about macro issues. Issues in terms of what there are four Rosh Hashanahs of the year. They're marking off four beginnings. So now we have covered extensively three of the four. We talked about the first day of Nisan, kings and Baal Te'acher, first day of Elul, according to one opinion, the beginning of the demarcation of Ma'aser Behema, and then the first day of Tishrei, many different laws which are affected by the first day of Tishrei, and now finally in the Mishnah we're up to Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, the beginning of the year when it comes to trees. When is the beginning of the year when it comes to trees? In our Mishnah, what do we see? Machlokas. It's a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai has it as the first day of Shvat. The song sounds differently according to Beis Shammai. I'm not really sure how to sing it according to Beis Shammai. And then the opinion of Beis Hillel is Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, the 15th day of Shvat, is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, the beginning of the year when it comes to trees. Okay. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, let's start with the Gemara Ma'itayma. We're 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Amar and Yudal Madalav. What's the basis for the position? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Oshia. When you get to the first day of Shvat, so rain's over, basically. Again in Israel, right? Everything, we're looking at the season from the perspective of being in Eretz Yisrael, not here. In Eretz Yisrael, when does the rain begin? Mar Cheshvan. Sukkot comes to an end, and we start praying for rain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give, and this is a season in which He's going to provide. I'm going to spend an entire Masechta talking about this this idea that rain begins in Cheshvan. Truth of the matter is, rain really begins after, really begins on Sukkot, but we delay the praying of the rain because we want to be able to send our Sukkah. So we ask for a delay. Truth of the matter is that we ask even for more of a delay because we want people to get home. So really we wait, and that's going to be one of our first discussions in Masechta Tanis. When do we wait after Sukkot to start praying for rain? So, but nevertheless, so after Sukkot, that's when the rain season begins. Mar Cheshvan is the beginning of the rain, and it rains. It rains through Cheshvan, through Kislev, through Teves, and now what are we up to? We're up to Shvat. Shvat, basically, now the real beginning of the spring, end of winter, beginning of spring, and now basically the rain has come to an end. Now, admittedly, right? It's kind of like we're having two discussions, even though they kind of overlap. I'm discussing the months from a lunar perspective. When you're talking about seasons, obviously seasons are following the solar year, not the lunar year. So it is a little bit strange. In other words, we understand the first day of Shvat is a moving target, right? It could sometimes be January, it could be February, it's a moving target. It doesn't accurately come out in the season. So, and that is a little bit strange. The Gemara is going to comment on this tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. But that's really a technical point. I mean, we make a lot of technical points here in the Daf. But when we say the first day of Shvat, we're really looking at the beginning of spring, the real early part of spring. And the Gemara points out, Af al pi sherov tkufa mi bachutz. Now, in terms of the spring, most of the spring is going to be after the first day of Shvat. So the Gemara says, what just happened over here? My kamar, meaning I didn't understand the sequence of those 2 points. Most of the rain is over, even though we got most of spring ahead of us. What? So the Gemara says, I'll explain. Hachi kamar. Afa pisha rov tkufa mi bachutz, hova yatsa rov gish meshana. No, in deference to the fact, I know we have most of spring coming up ahead of us. Meaning the first day of Shvat, we still got all of Shvat, all of Nisan. I'm sorry, let me do that better and correctly. All of Shvat, all of Adar, we got all that coming up ahead of us, but still, Af al pi kein, most of the rain is behind us, so that's why the first day of Adar now begins and marks the beginning of Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos. It's the first of the year for the trees. Okay. And Rashi points out, take a look at Rashi Hovi after Rav Gishmei Shana, four lines from the bottom. Shekvar Avar Rav Yemosag Shamim Shuzman Revia V'Ala Hasraf B'Ilanos. Sraf, right, it's basically like the sap of the tree, meaning that in the very early stages of the fruit development, even before the blossoming of the fruit, so basically it's a little bit of sap that's generated by the rain. V'nimtzu aperes chontin me'ata. This is now when the fruits are going to start developing. So I'm looking now at the tail end of the rain, the beginning, the real early beginning of spring. Most of spring is up ahead of us. The sap is there, the blossoming is coming. So therefore, Echad b'Shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos. That's the opinion of Beit Shammai. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara now quotes the following brisa: Ma'isa b'Rabbi Kiva sheliket esrog b'Echad b'Shvat. Let me pause for just a moment. I'm sorry, and let's just summarize the halacha, and then we'll get to Rabbi Kiva and his conundrum with the esrog. Okay, so now what comes out is as follows. According to Beit Shammai, the first day of Shvat is the beginning of the year for trees, and according to Beit Hillel, 2 weeks later, Tu B'Shvat. What does that mean exactly? Okay, so and this is where it can get a little bit confusing. That's why I want to spell it out, and then we're going to go back to the Gemara. It means like this. When does the second year of the Shemitah cycle begin? Rosh Hashanah, right? Meaning the first day of Tishrei, like we've been saying for the last number of days in the Daf. Okay, that means that when I have a vegetable, I pick the vegetable out of the ground right after Rosh Hashanah begins. I know it's Yantav, you're not allowed to do that. Okay, but in other words, I pick a vegetable out of the ground Rosh Hashanah. So what year is it connected to? So if it's the third year of the Shemitah cycle, it's the third year. If it's the second year of the Shemitah cycle, the second year. So in other words, when it comes to vegetables and grain, and lentils, so basically Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to trees, however, this is where it gets a little bit confusing. That even though at the point of Rosh Hashanah we are now in either the second year or the third year or the fourth year, when it comes to trees are almost like on a time delay. Trees, when I pluck a fruit off the tree, it's not really contingent on the plucking of the fruit. When it starts blossoming in the tree, I connect it to the year, but only at the point of, according to Beit Shammai, the first day of Shvat, or according to Beit Hillel, Tu B'Shvat. And that obviously is 4 or 4.5 months after Rosh Hashanah. Right. So admittedly, it is a little bit confusing. So that means that according to Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, if the blossoming occurs before Tu B'Shvat, even though we're in the second year, it's still associated with year number one. If we're in the third year, it's still associated with year number two, right? Only if the blossoming occurs after day one or day 15 of Shvat, then and only then is it going to be connected to the year that we're currently in. Okay, I admit, that's a little bit confusing, but that's the basic point of Tu B'Shvat, or according to Beit Shammai, Echa B'Shvat. Okay? Now, with all that in mind, now, if that's not confusing enough as it is, now we have Rabbi Akiva and his conundrum regarding the esrog. So first, let's tell the story over, and then let's try to understand what the confusion is. Ma'isa b'Rabbi Akiva shaliket esrog b'Echa B'Shvat. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? So he plucked a esrog off a tree on the first day of Shvat. And it was... It was year 3 of the Shemitah cycle. And v'nahag ba shnei isurin. And what Rabbi Akiva did is, Rabbi Akiva held the esrog in his hand and he says, wow, I don't know. I don't know if this is associated with year 2 or this is associated with year 3. I don't know. So what does he do? He hedges his bet. And what he does is he takes off. And the difference would be Truma Gedola, same. First Meiser Rishon, same. The big difference is going to be, what do you do after that? If it's year two, Maaser Sheni. If it's year three, Maaser Ani. He doesn't know. So what he does is, he does both. V'nagva shnei isurim. Echad kedivrei Beis Shammai, v'echad kedivrei Beis Hillel. So one like Beis Shammai and one like Beis Hillel. Meaning, if the first day of Shvat marks the beginning of the new year for the tree, so then this is associated to the third year. If the 15th of Shvat is the beginning of the new year for the tree, so this is the second year. I don't know. I don't know who we follow, like whether we follow like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
Why isn't this prayer?
It's not Brero. He's picking.
He's covering both bases, saying if this, if that, but fine. Because he's not sure.
Good. So in other words, I wouldn't use the word Brero to describe it. I would use he did both. Now as a
he did both, but the question is
okay. I wouldn't use that as
it.
Let's table the discussion. I'm more than happy to discuss it with you afterwards. Okay. First things first. What does that mean? Meaning practically, he actually took off Meiser again and again. Now in the world of Meiser, you can't do that. Meaning Truma Gedola. How much you have to take off for Truma Gedola, the Torah doesn't say. Okay? And the Chachamim gave us numbers. 2%, a little bit more than 2%, a little bit less than 2%. You're stingy, you're generous, fine. Meiser, however, the Torah does say how much you have to give off. How does the Torah say it? In the word itself. The word Meiser actually is Esther. You take off 10%. And then when the Torah says to take off another 10%, well, how much is that? Well, that's also easy. That's also 10%. Meaning that the Torah wants us to take off 10 and only 10% for the Meiser Rishon and for the Meiser Sheni. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? He got to this point where he wasn't sure, ooh, is it Meiser Sheni, is it Meiser Ani? So you know what, I'll take off 10% and I'll take off 10%?
The second one.
What are you? Right, you can't. 10%. No, the Torah is demanding that you only take off 10%. 10% for Meiser Rishon, 10% for Meiser Sheni. But not two 10% for Meiser Sheni just because you don't know which one it is. So Tosos over here is bothered by that. The bottom Tosos says, you know what he did? Take a look at the bottom Tosos. He's quoting Yerushalmi. That what he did is he took off Meiser Rishon. He took off Meiser Sheni. He went to Yerushalayim with that Meiser Sheni. And he found poor people. So basically, he only took off a second 10%, but then he covered his bases. If it's really Meiser Sheni, I'm good, I'm eating in Yerushalayim. And if it's Meiser Ani, well, I'm giving it to the poor people eat it. Okay, just an ingenious solution in terms of how he could do both, but only take off one of Russia.
But Meiser Sheni can be eaten by poor people.
Yeah, sure, yourself. Sure. Meiser Sheni, the restriction on Meiser Sheni is that it has to be in Yerushalayim.
By anybody.
Yeah, correct. Anyone who wants to eat it. Okay. Fine. That's the, we're now on the top of Yudalamid Beis. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer Lo Minag Beishama Beisol Nagba Ela Minag Rabbi Gamaliel Rabbi Lazar Nagba. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says, look, you're right about the story, you're wrong about the explanation. It's a different explanation. He wasn't confused about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Who's going to be confused about that? What he was confused about, in other words, we hold like Beis Hillel. What he was confused about is the Esrog. What's going to mark its year that it's assigned to? So, Dinan, and the Gemara points out, this is a machlokus. Esrog, Shevel Ilam, Begimel Drachim. For the most part, it's like a tree. In three ways, it's like a tree. Uli Yerek Biderech Echad. But in a certain way, it's like a vegetable. Shavali Ilam Begimel Drachim, Arla Revius, Revai and Shvius. Vis-a-vis the Halachav, first 3 years you can't eat it. You can't benefit from it. Year number four, you have to eat in Yerushalayim. And the Shemitah year, so in that regard, it behaves like a tree. However, Uli Yerk Bederech Echad, Shebeshafli Kitaso, Isuro, Divir Rebbe Gamliel. But when it comes to when do I assign it to what year? Lakita. The time that I pick it off the ground. And that's like a vegetable. So in other words, that's the opinion of Rebbe Gamliel. The That's the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. So when Rabbi Akiva picked it off the tree, so now I know a lot of things about the Esrog. Arla, Revai, Shvius, like a tree. But now, wait a second, which year is it connected to? Now, Tu B'Shvat is a mark. But is it going after the blossoming or the Lakita? Rabbi Gamliel says Lakita, when I pluck it off the ground. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Esrog Shavali Ilan Chodav, and Rabbi Lazar says no. And Esrog has the properties of a tree in every respect. So, and that was the confusion of Rabbi Akiva. Now, the Gemara says, now, let's go back to the first point. The first point of the Gemara is that Rabbi Akiva was confused because he didn't know whether it was good control like Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, and therefore he accepted both positions. The Gemara says, we don't do that. Now, if you want to follow like Beis Shammai, you could do so. And if you want to follow like Beis Hillel, you could do that. Now, already, head should be spinning. The Braisa starts off by saying the halacha is like Beis Hillel, and you can opt like either one you want. Okay, right? The Gemara in Erevin is bothered by that. The Gemara in Erevin deals with that. Mekula Beis Shammai, Mekula Beis Hillel Rasha. Now, let's say you want to pick your kulas. Look, on this issue, Beis Shammai's Mekel, great. On this issue, Beis Hillel's Mekel, okay, fantastic. So the Gemara says Rasha. I know it's strong language. I'm aware that that's very strong language for just somebody who's picking out a kula. Meaning, you could say disingenuous. There's a lot of words you could use. The word Rasha is a very strong word, admittedly. But Mechomer Beis Shammai, Mechomer Beis Hillel, Alav HaKasav Amar, Aksel B'choshech Olech. Now, let's say you pick your Chumras. Meaning, let's say, look, I'm extremely God-fearing. I'm going to go like everyone's Chumra. So the Gemara says, you're a fool. Okay, so we go for, right, look at the spectrum we went from. We went from being a Rasha to being a fool. Okay. You must be consistent. Pick a Rebbe and follow him. On his Chumras and on his Kulas. So you want to go like Beis Shammai? Great. You want to go like Beis Hillel? Great. Just be consistent. And so therefore, obviously, the Gemara now is seriously critical of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, you're going like Beis Shammai and like Beis Hillel? You got to pick. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Gamri, Stapik Lev, Elo Yadi, Beis Hillel, Be'echa B'Shvat, Obitu B'Shvat. So the Gemara says, you know, you're right. And of course, Rabbi Akiva follows that thought process. What he didn't know was this Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, even though the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah presents it to us pretty clearly. Beis Shammai says the first day of Shvat. And Beis Hillel says Tu B'Shvat. But what Rabbi Akiva didn't know is, which one was Beis Hillel? Was he Tu B'Shvat or was he Echa B'Shvat? He was unclear about that. If he would have known who holds like what, obviously, then it would no longer have been a question. But the question for Rabbi Akiva is, who do we hold like? Okay, this is a place where we're going to pause. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Again, we finished the discussion of Bila today. Big discussion about whether or not there's an even distribution in any mixture. Shmuel says no, we don't hold the Bila except for wine and oil. Our next big discussion was vegetables are not like fruit. Vegetables follow Lakita, the time that you pluck it off the ground, not Chanata, or not like Shlish of the grapes and the olives and the grains. And then we moved on to discuss Tu B'Shvat and the conundrum of Rabbi Akiva regarding the Esrog and two explanations of why he was confused when he picked the Esrog on the first day of Shvat. We'll pick it up tomorrow.